Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Kawai Hindu Lectures. The titles are Kaif Awareness and Four States, presented by Sri Shivaya Bodhiyada Velayada Swami. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Good morning, everyone. I chose a talk by Gurudeva this morning, which talks about awareness, aware of itself, which in his language of Shum is called Kaif. Kaif is a fairly simple state to attain. It is not a deep transcendental area that takes years to attain. But it does take a long time to be able to sustain the state of Kaif for more than an instant or two. Ask anyone and they will tell you that they can at any moment become aware that they are aware. This is Kaif. To remain longer in this state than a fleeting second does take practice. The breath should be well regulated, and the nerve system harmonized, and the sadhaka should have made peace within himself, with family and friends, and be steadfast in this practice before the bliss of Kaif can be felt, and the state of Kaif held for longer periods time. So that's the first idea here, that we don't want to make it difficult to achieve Kaif or awareness aware of itself. Gurudeva says it's very, very simple to do so. What's more difficult is to sustain it for more than a few seconds. So how do we sustain it? Well, one of the most important things, as is pointed out here, is peace within oneself with family and friends. In other words, we can't be emotionally disturbed. That is a key in this as well as other states of deeper meditation. The emotions have to be in a quiet state. We can't be recovering from a major argument that took place earlier today or yesterday. We can't be upset about how we're being treated by life. We can't be regretful of the past. We can't be harboring lots of emotional issues and expect to be able to go this deeply into meditation. The other point that Gurudeva makes is that the breath should be well regulated. So that's something we practice, of course, in meditation. Our basic breath is breathing in for 9 counts, holding 1 count, and breathing out for 9 counts, and holding 1 count. It's very simple, not a complicated breathing technique, but it works. And it does what it's supposed to, which is quiets the mind and allows us to become detached from the intellect enough to experience Kaif. This is one I didn't recall as coming up. A simple and direct way to experience Kaif is to hold both hands before you with palms pressed together. Be aware of their feeling as well as how they look. As you feel the power intensify within you as the palms are pressed together with the hands held near the center of your chest, inwardly watch your awareness, being aware of this action. It is easy to be aware of your two hands. It is also not difficult to be aware that you are aware of your two hands pressed together, excluding everything else from your mind. When you have attained this, simply drop your hands into your lap, and you will be aware of simply being aware. This is Kaif. So that's something you can try. Experiencing kaif by pressing the hands together, becoming aware of that practice. And once you're aware, just dropping them into the lap and maintaining the awareness of being aware. You can practice this while sitting alone in meditation. And after a while, you will no longer have to go through pressing the palms together to attain kaif. Soon after this, you will only have to pronounce the word kaif, and in knowing its meaning, you will hearken back to your experience of kaif, and thereby, for a split second, attain to the full experience of kaif. Awareness aware only of itself, to the exclusion of everything else. So that takes a while if you're not used to the word kaif. If you are, then of course you relate, but for words to evoke a certain meaning immediately takes practice, takes use of the word, takes impressing the subconscious mind as to the meaning of it. As you go along in this practice, you will pass through many different rates of intensity of kaif as the subconscious areas of your mind become impressed and become used to this experience. When this occurs, a certain kind of bliss bursts forth from deep within you as an aftermath of your experience of kaif. You will find that in your striving to find kaif, that your intellect will interfere and become quite a barrier to this experience. It will want to simply pronounce the word kaif. To simply pronounce the word kaif and then think directly after it, awareness aware of itself. Thus translating from Shum to English. By doing this, the intellect then expects the process of translation to be the experience. The intellect, being the biggest barrier to superconscious experience, must be dealt with in a very firm way. And when you find this occurring, begin again the simple practice I have outlined of pressing the hands together and being aware that you are aware of doing this. I mentioned that the experience of kaif is easy to come by, but to prolong the experience is tedious and to some difficult. So this is a good point. When it comes to meditation, we always have to be careful in our approach to meditation to actually be experiencing something and not to be defining it. So, for example, a simple state that we focus on that's easy to attain is feeling the spiritual energy within the spine. Feeling the actinic energy that's flowing through the spine. So we call it Simshum Bisi. So when we utilize Simshum Bisi in a meditation, the goal is to experience the energy, to feel the energy in the spine that is actinic or life-giving, spiritual, and not simply to think about what Simshum Bisi means. Simshum Bisi means the energy in the spine. You know, that's simply defining it. It's not experiencing it. So we need to go, of course, into this experience so that Simshum Bisi, we just experience the energy in the spine. To some people, to experience kaif is difficult. For example, for emotional people or those easily intellectually excited about this or that, the experience of kaif is a distant fantasy, for the mere idea of it excites them. Thus the conscious mind becomes clouded, the subconscious confused, and only the word remains. Therefore, now we begin to see that a certain remolding of one's life must commence as a way for the attainment of this experience. Emotional outbursts, intellectual excitements have to be renounced, for they have virtually nothing to do with an inner superconscious experience such as Kaif. Knowing about mystical subject matter does not produce experience, nor does being excited about the possibility of deep and satisfying inner experiences. We must not mistake intellectual knowledge and the attaining of it to be spiritual practice, nor must we mistake excitement about mystical experience to correspond in any way with the actual experience. Therefore, the elusive Kaif, awareness aware of itself, always present in everyone, can be and is an unexplored area by most seekers. So why is that? Well, it's for the two reasons Gurudev is explaining, that we get stuck in the intellectual concept of it and what the concept means, or we get excited about it and the excitement itself is a disturbance in the mind that prevents our experiencing it. So we want to be enthusiastic, but not excited, shall we say. Here's another quote on the same subject. The most intriguing area of consciousness found in Shum is Kaif. Kaif is awareness aware of itself. For those who have had an initial inner light experience called Namochena, will find Kaif rather easy to attain. It is simply a deep state of consciousness where awareness is aware of itself. Now, when awareness can be aware of itself long enough, it sort of coils up into a little tight ball and begins to disappear. This is called Im Kaif. When it finally disappears, the self alone remains, or a vibration which is greater than the mind itself takes over awareness and blocks it out, so to speak. When man comes back from this experience of experiencing the total self, everything within the mind is more understandable, and he is locked into the perspective of looking at the world from the inner or fourth dimension of the mind. So that's a nice description of Im Kaif, or awareness dissolving, coiling up into a ball, begins to disappear. So one of the key points in Gurudeva's teachings is that you can't explain the self or Parashiva, and that giving it the name Im Kaif doesn't name the experience of Parashiva or the self. It just names, as Gurudeva points out very clearly, what happens to awareness in the experience. So it says awareness dissolves, but it doesn't say anything about what the experience is. So another way of saying that is the idea of neti neti, not this, not that. It's a common Hindu approach to the transcendent absolute, is whatever you end up thinking it is, then you have to renounce that. You get a great concept, and then you say, well, that's still a concept, you know, it's not really that. Neti. So all you can do is say what it's not. So that's why Gurudev says it's not time, it's not form, it's not space. It's timeless, formless spaces. He tells us what it's not. By understanding what it's not, we get some sense of what it is, but again, we're just looking at what it's not. So, thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya. Good morning, everyone. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, we're working on the Mamsani. Mamsani are the elementary or basic shum maps that are carved in pillars of Yerevan Temple, Gurudeva's way to make sure we don't forget about them. Carved in stone there. So we're wanting to energize the Mamsani, and we're putting out a booklet which describes them, gives some introductory material as well, and we'll have that done in the next few weeks, I believe. You're all welcome to have a copy. So another way we're energizing them is to use them as the basis for our meditation for the month. We've been issuing a meditation of the month for a while now, which is something common that the monks are meditating on, and those members who are participating in the shum study are also meditating on the same material. So it links us all together in a nice mystical way. So to energize the Mamsani, we're going to switch to meditating on the Mamsani. So requires two things. One is shifting the period, because the Mamsani are on the Western month. So, and to get to the Western month from the end of this meditation is only 2 weeks. So our meditation, current meditation, ends today, a new one starts tomorrow. So therefore, as a interim period, we're doing the Mamsani for the month of March just for 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of March. It's a long way of saying that. So I thought I'd read it. Description of it starts tomorrow. La lam lof lomph. These four images take us into the four states of being by naming them. In the English language, we only have one word for being, our great being. But the Shumchev language names four states of being. This Mamsani brings together these four names. They actually name four vibratory rates of our being. We begin to meditate upon this Mamsani by reading from the top left clockwise. The first image is law. Law names the being of the physical body, or the feeling of the vibrations emanating out of our physical body. The next image in the Mamsani, lam, names the vibration of our emotional intellectual nature, or the being of our emotions and thoughts. The next image is lof. Lof is the name for the vibration, the radiation, the shakti of the celestial body of the individual soul deep in the second world, the fifth dimension of the mind. When one is aware within the center of the spine, lof, an actinodic vibration comes forth from the soul. This vibration oozes out through the physical body. This feeling is called lof. Lof comes into power through Simshumbisi when the forces are transmuted from the first three instinctive intellectual mind force centers, which means chakras, and blends with the refined forces of the fourth, Kamshumalinga. After the Im Kaif experience, the beautiful shakti that begins to emanate and become stronger and stronger through the years is called lamph. Lamph is the vibration of the energies of the actinic body of a realized being, which develops and begins to grow after many Im Kaif experiences have been had. La lam, lof lamph are four vibratory rates of energies which can be perceived singularly or in any combination. For example, one can feel the vibration of someone's physical body and emotional body be they healthy or unhealthy, both at the same time. When an individual has matured inwardly and realized God's Shiva, the most refined Shakti, called Lamph, can also be felt. This important Bhamsani tells our story, the story of our states of being. When we meditate upon it, we are seeing our superconscious existence, which will eventually come fully into existence after we have attained Im Kaif. We experience some days when divine energies flow through our bodies, when Siva's cosmic energy sparks our mind. Now we have a name for this state of being, this energy, Lof. Lof describes our state of mind when Shiva's superconscious creative knowledge enriches our vision and the vision of others, improving the quality of life for all. When we experience our subconscious emotional feelings, good, bad, mixed, we now have a name to call it, Lam. And when we are only aware of the external world and our physical body, we have a name for that too, Law. Very good. So I thought it was interesting, the synchronicity. So one part of today's lesson is about the same thing. So that's interesting. I think it's from Living with Shiva. When the emotions begin to react in a systematic way, and hate and fear and jealousy and love and passion and all of those emotions begin to function properly, and awareness flows out into the conscious mind, the physical body begins to assume a mature, intelligent appearance. You can look at the person and judge. By looking at his body, I see that he is an intelligent man. This means all of his instinctive and intellectual faculties are developed and working simultaneously together. However, he may be yet to turn inward. Perhaps you can ascertain this by looking into his eyes. Perhaps in this life he will turn inward. When he has satisfied some of his desires, he is setting into motion. Soon as he begins to turn inward, he begins to nourish his spiritual body. It starts to grow within the emotional body. Grows like a child, fed by all of his good deeds. All of his selflessness and selfless actions toward others feed that body. All of his working with himself, conquering instinctive emotions within himself, is food for that body as it draws from the central source of energy. All of his selfishness and greed and giving power to the instinctive elements starve this spiritual body. You have heard about the suffering of the soul. As it unfolds, it cries out and wants more attention. This is man's struggle within himself. Finally, the spiritual body grows up into a mature body and unfolds the sub-superconscious mind, grows up more and becomes aware in the superconscious mind, taking on more spiritual force from the infinite. Ultimately, it takes over the astral, emotional, intellectual body. This is the whole story of the inner awakening that is occurring within each of us. The mere fact that it makes sense to you as you read about it means you are in the process of this experience of superconsciousness moving out into the conscious plane. Oh, it's interesting. So one of our standard approaches to deepening our understanding of ourselves is the pursuit of who am I. We've talked about that before, and asking ourselves, who am I, and trying for a deeper and deeper answer to that question. So that's another way of phrasing the terms in the Mamsani. It gives us a fourfold answer. In other words, there isn't just one answer. Who am I? Which I? There's four of me. Take your pick. Three exists now, and one is coming up in the future after Im Kaif. So it gives us a simple way of looking at that and clearly separating those aspects of our being, as Gurudeva says, four states of being. So the more externalized we are, then the more we tend to think we're the physical being. And when we're in our mind or memories of the past, we tend to think we're our emotional, intellectual being. But if we get deeper, if we get into the spiritual energies of our spine, which we call experiencing Simshumbisi, then we have a deeper identity of being a spiritual being. So obviously, that's the one we want to cultivate, and that's part of the idea of the Shumchef language and meditation, is to cultivate that inner identity with the state of being of Lof, of being a spiritual being, being the energies in the spine, being some superconscious being. So the one way we can cultivate that is when we, to be self-reflective, and when we think or speak the word I, to think about which one of these beings, states of being, am I referring to, and see what we refer to most of the time. You know, are we always talking about our physical body? Are we always talking about our thoughts and emotions and memories? Are we talking about the spiritual being inside of us? You know, oh, a good opportunity to be self-reflective. So beauty of the Shum language is it gives us a word for these different concepts. It's much easier when there's a one word to describe a concept than when you just have to talk about the concept in a rambling way, because there's no one word to describe it. So Shum gives us one word for all kinds of different inner aspects of ourselves, and this one is very useful in helping us internalize our identity and avoid identifying excessively with the physical being or the emotional intellectual being by understanding that we are also a spiritual being. And the more we can identify with that, the better for our spiritual progress.